This is URN Sport.
Students at the University of Nottingham, they know what this means.
This is Jeff Selling from Sky Sports, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on and smashes it home! What a strike from Ben Osborne!
All 25 yards out, he's going to shoot! Oh, what a goal from John Stead!
This is URN Sport.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the URN's Thursday Sports Show here tonight. I'm your host, Jeremy Dunn. I'm joined here in the studio by Phoebe, Matt and Will. And we have got an action-packed show coming up over the next hour where we will be bringing you all the latest that's been going on in the universe from the University of Nottingham, all the latest sports news that's been going on here in the Bucks League, as well as a couple of the league competitions that the university's been competing in, before we then turn our attention towards our local teams of Nottingham Forest, Notts County and, of course, the Panthers. So we're going to start the show off then tonight with an interview that we conducted yesterday with the University of Nottingham's American football team, because they are taking on the University of Trent this weekend in their first clash since the two teams locked horns in varsity. Here's our interview.
This is URN Sport.
So I'm joined here in the studio with the guys from the American football team. Guys, welcome into the studio. You're here to promote a very big game you've got coming up this weekend against Trent. But first, I'll let you introduce yourselves. So over to you guys.
Hi, I'm Will. I'm the social sec.
Hi, I'm Connor. I'm the welfare rep.
And I'm James. I'm the president of the club.
Awesome. So it's great to have you guys in here. Now, as I said during the intro, obviously the main reason that you guys wanted to come down here to talk about is, of course, this huge game you've got coming up this weekend at home at DRSV, and it's against Trent. And I believe I'm right in saying it's the first match you've played against them since the varsity game last year. So what are your thoughts, obviously, going into this? Because it's a classic one we can throw out here going up against Trent, but I'm interested to hear how you guys are looking forward to it.
So yeah, we've been unbeaten since our varsity game against them. It'll be a very fiercely contested game with both teams being unbeaten this season. And yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It'll be a really great game.
It's a great chance for one of the two teams to kind of stamp their authority on the conference for the rest of the year. Obviously, we'll play them once again after Christmas. But yeah, this is a real opportunity to make a statement, and it would be our first victory against Trent in a Bucks fixture.
And I think as well, when people say, oh, it's just another game, that's not really the case. I mean, both teams are unbeaten this year, but it's Trent as well. It's so much more important for us as a team, and we really want to go and kind of make a statement and beat them.
Yeah, I think a game against Trent is never just another game. I think it's definitely safe to say. So like you mentioned there, both teams have had good starts to season. Both of you are beaten at the moment. Obviously, we can talk about how you guys have done. We don't really know, I don't really know about Trent in detail. You guys might have potentially been watching any sort of highlights and seeing how they've been playing. But what's been the secret to your success, do you feel, this year, without giving too much away, obviously, to the opposition?
In contrast to last year, we've been very strong defensively. So with some US-American scholars coming in, and really just beefing up the defence, and we haven't conceded many points, just 15 over the course of the past two games, and I assume that's the same with Trent. They've conceded 0 points. They've shut out both the teams they've played, and but our offence is still putting up points, and we hope to continue that against Trent.
Yeah, I think we're a lot more balanced as a side this year. Last year we kind of relied on a few more key players, especially running the ball, and I think overall this year we've got better depth in kind of all the positions, and I think that's really showed with our performances so far.
Yeah, so that's really great to see then that you guys have sort of, you feel a lot more confident, I think it is to be said, but I'm guessing from you guys going into this match than you were probably if this fixture was occurring last year. Hate to bring it up again, obviously, but it's sort of rolling back to last year. After that unfortunate defeat that you guys took at the very last stages of varsity, when that game occurred, what was kind of the mindset going on in the dressing room? Was it sort of very much that this year you guys felt you had to kind of up the level again then to take on Trent? Because it was a lot of the form guys did suggest that you guys would walk away with a victory, and it was a surprise to a lot of people when Trent did win, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course. So they were in the Premiership last year and we were in Division 1, and as you know, we went unbeaten last year in the regular season and they unfortunately didn't win a game. So going into the game we were quietly confident, but in the game, a lot of people don't know, we lost two of our starting players, two of our best players, and I think that showed during the performance. So this year we're still looking at being a balanced team, and hopefully going out and win the game. We're quietly confident. We've rotated a lot of players, so we've got a lot of new players and the freshers coming in getting their first taste of football, because a lot of people have never played the game before. And we've looked at a bit of film. We haven't seen Trent rotate as much as we have, and we're looking at using going into this game with all our starting 11 throughout the whole game, and hopefully coming away with a victory.
If you go back to our first year, you talk about motivation. We lost to Trent 3 times in the regular season, and then beat them at Varsity, and obviously that was an amazing feeling that we couldn't quite replicate last year. But just that feeling of loss, losing to Trent, obviously, everyone that was there, and we have retained a lot of those guys, will motivate them, and we know what it feels like to lose, and we want to give that to them this time.
Yeah, building on from what Connor said, like we know what it's like to lose them, but we also know what it's like to win. I think a lot of the core members of the team really remember that Varsity win 2 years ago really, really strongly, and I think we want to try and replicate that, especially with we're going to play him at least 2 more times this season. So if we can essentially beat him 3 times, it'd be such a good kind of feel for the teams.
Well, it is fantastic to see the support that you guys are really starting to get, and it's great to see, obviously, when sports start to take off and the amount of support they're getting. Then moving on towards the winter break that is obviously coming up over Christmas. How are you guys going to be coping with that? Is there going to be, I'm assuming, training sessions going on potentially over that period, or is there a specific plan that you guys always adopt for your routine going into this, going into the festive season?
So there's not many training sessions as such, because obviously everyone's spread out around the country, no one really knows where each other are. But we're given an S&C timetable. It's just to keep up, and we'll have our January testing. So we take records of what everyone's lifting in September, and it's just mainly the strength and conditioning side of things. And in January, we'll have them same sessions and see how people have improved like that. And again, we still have our video analysis tool, which is Huddle, so we can keep watching back the plays we've already made and like mentally get better, taking mental reps the whole time.
Obviously, it's such a physical sport. The winter break is kind of a welcome, almost hot time off from the physical contact of the sport, and then coming back into what will be 4 games plus hopefully a deep playoff run in the spring term.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a good time to relax, really. It's like, especially this Trent game, we've got Warwick, who are a very good side, coming up soon. We'll be kind of quite banged up, and it's good to just take a step back, really, and relax.
Well, speaking of relaxing, I think it's only right that we move on to talking about what you guys do with regards to socials. We often ask university teams when they come on sort of what it is they do during some sort of break period. Obviously, we're recording this on a Wednesday, where most teams usually go out to crisis. Are you guys amongst those?
Yeah, we are out tonight. We'll be in bright and tight, so if you see anyone in stupidly tight spandex, that might be... might be me. We tend to have socials pretty much every Wednesday. Lots of themes. We're sponsored by Beer Killer, so we go to Beer Killer a lot, and we really are a kind of inclusive club, which we try and get everyone involved with it, no matter who you are.
Yeah, as well as that, we have our Sunday socials as well. So in that Beer Killer complex, there's a Shooter's Bar, which on the top, and every Sunday there'll be 10-20 of us down watching the NFL games. So every NFL game that's on the Sunday night, we'll be down watching, having a bit of food, having a bit to drink. And just anyone is welcome to come along, learn more about the club, and just get to know us, really.
Well, that's a fantastic advert then for the casual fan that might want to really get themselves interested. I suppose the best way is obviously to watch you guys play. And just to remind everyone, where and when is that game going to be occurring, guys?
So that is this Saturday, the 25th of November, and that's the kickoff is 4 o'clock at the David Ross Sports Village on the 3G pitch.
Well, from everyone here then at URM, we can only wish you guys the best of luck. We hope you smash Trent in that match. I'm sure there'll be a few of us down there to cheer you guys on. But for now, guys, thank you very much for coming into the studio.
Hi, this is Nick Matthew, 3 times world squash champion, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Nick Matthew there, who represented the University of Nottingham on Tuesday as they took on Birmingham in their first league match. He is obviously the former world number one. It was great for us to grab a quick interview with him, which will be coming out on next Tuesday's show. At the very latest, it will be coming out next Thursday. But speaking of interviews, just in case you thought we didn't have enough to offer, we're going to go very quickly to another one, which was grabbed by URN's reporter Tom Monks down at the futsal game where they had their first match, also against Birmingham this week. Here's our interview.
This is URN Sport.
So, were you expecting it to be that easy coming into the game?
I didn't know what to expect. The only thing I did expect is that we had a better tactical knowledge of the game. So if we stuck to our game, we won. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think much of what we were up against, just know that we would win. To get a big result like that is obviously positive. On the other hand, it was a bit negative to concede for against a team where I think if we stuck to our game, we shouldn't have really conceded.
What do you put that down to? Obviously, the first half was you pretty much completely in control. Perhaps the second half, you scored more, but you also let in a lot more goals. Might you
have become a bit complacent?
I think it is mentality. For whatever reason, it's happened a few times. And like the gaffer said then, in a more important game, that could be very costly. So it's something that we've got the luxury now of learning from mistakes in games where it hasn't cost us dearly to have that lapse in mentality, and we need to learn from it quickly. Make sure it doesn't happen in a game where it could cost us.
3 points clear now in your league, I think. What does that mean for the team going into the rest of the season?
Early days, to be honest. Very early days. It's expected, to be honest. We expect to win the league, so anything less would be disappointing. Just more of the same, really. As I said, learn from mistakes, keep building the way we're going, and we're going to get what we deserve.
A hat-trick for yourself. You say that's one of your better games in green and gold?
First half, yeah. A little bit of mentality lapse, perhaps, on my behalf in the second half. But, my finishing was getting there now. So hopefully the start of a few more goals, I'm lucky.
Let's move on then to what is the core of this show with our Bucks roundup. So at the moment, the University of Nottingham, as of the results which we have received currently at the time of recording this, which is 18 minutes past six on the 23rd of the 11th, we are currently sat in fourth place with a total of 2,154 points, with the green and gold achieving this week a respectable 58% win ratio, which in most weeks we would probably be saying is a very strong performance. But given our impressive results, has to be said, over the last couple of weeks, it's a little bit of a drop in form, and unfortunately the green and gold have now slid out of the top three. We can only hope to regain our spot. We were, a couple of weeks ago, need I remind you, actually on top of the table, so it just shows how quickly things in Bucks can change and how fast we can probably turn things around. Now, each of my three panellists here have picked a certain society they want to have a look at. We will also just say that some of the results, when we've been going through them backstage in the studio, we weren't sure about a couple of these, because it has been a very interesting week with scores. There's been some incredibly high scoring games, and also some interesting ones where one team must have absolutely dominated to run away with some of the scores they've ended up with. But anyway, we're going to work with what we have and run through the results we've got. So Will, why don't you lead us off with the team which you selected, which I believe was hockey?
Yeah, it's been a relatively good week for the hockey team, winning 5 out of 8. Both the men's and women's first were up against Loughborough away, and although the women's team lost 2-1, it was a great result for the men's, who won 1-0. And not only is that a great result, it's great considering that last week they lost 3-0 to Trent, and to put that result behind them with a strong victory against Loughborough side was very impressive. Elsewhere, it was a week for cup games, 6 cup games being played and 4 being won for Nottingham, so putting them in the hat for next round. And pick of them would probably be the men's, the 6th team, actually beating Leicester thirds very comfortably, 7-0, I think, which is just shows the strength in depth that we've got here at Nottingham, and putting them forward to that next round of the cup.
Yeah, it has been, like I said, there were a big round for cups, not just in hockey, but it seems across the league. It seems the cup competitions are finally starting to kick off now for the University of Nottingham. And hockey have done, like you were saying there, a very, very impressive result. That win for the 6th against Leicester's 3rd, 7-0 at home down at Beeston Hockey Club, fantastic results for them. A bit disappointing though, I think, probably when we look at the women's first against Loughborough's first. Whilst, I'm sure, like you said, it is us going up against Loughborough's first, it's a bit disheartening when the men's first have unfortunately walked away with the win. But I suppose it is away from home, it's a hard place to go, obviously, Loughborough, so we can only wish them the best of luck to recover then, I think it has to be said, for next week. We'll have a look then at a couple of other teams. So moving round the table then to you, Phoebe, who is it that you've selected this week? Is your club that you want to put under the spotlight?
I would actually like to talk about the water polo for once. They won 2 out of their 3 matches, with the men's second team beating Cambridge second team 12-5, which is a great score, and also the women's second team beating Nottingham Trent's first team 15-1, so an outstanding result there. Almost a clean sweep, and it's also quite nice to always, you know, beat our main rivalries, Nottingham Trent. But yeah, I think water polo, they should have a good mention this week.
Yeah, there was some discussion backstage, I remember, when we saw that result against Trent's first, and we were questioning as to could our second team really beat Trent's first that convincingly. And I think the big thing which when we look at
at it, which I'm sure people like Joe, for example, Callum, and many veterans of URN often point to when we raise the question about why we're so good in water compared to our rivals, has to be the fact that, unlike Trent, we actually have our own swimming pool. They do have to rent out the local ones, which is rather embarrassing for them, and it does show when things like varsity come around. So fantastic result then this week for the water polo. Bit of a shame, it has to be said, though. I think I'll be the harbinger of bad news, I think, this week then, that the women's first unfortunately couldn't quite beat Durham's first at home as well. But I suppose that is why Durham are still riding high in the title race. They have performed extremely well throughout the league. So Matt, it's going to be then over to you. And which society now are your selected ones this week?
So I've been looking at predominantly racket sports. So start with badminton, who've had another excellent week. They've had such a strong season, having lots of weeks where they won 100% of their matches. And in their six matches this week, they won all six, with five of those in the cup. So the men's first to beat Durham first 6-2 at home, which obviously, considering the overall standing of Bucks, is a really strong result and shows the strength and depth of the badminton team. Also wins for the men's seconds and men's thirds in the cup against Northampton first and Loughborough for fourths respectively, both results 5-3. And women's first to beat Sheffield Hallam first in the cup 8-0, and the women's seconds also winning 8-0 against Aberystwyth first in the cup, and the women's thirds beating Edinburgh thirds 6-2 in the cup. So these results all showing really strong starts to the cup competitions for Nottingham Badminton, continuing our strong results in the league. Also really strong victories in terms of the outlines, a couple of 8-0s and 6-2s, and a little bit closer in some of the men's matches, but not too close to comfort. So I think it's a really another strong showing from Badminton, who have been one of our strongest performances this year, constantly picking up the points and maintaining a 100% win record.
Indeed, it has been a very strong performance. Looking down at those badminton results, we've seen some extremely convincing ones. I think, like we touched on there, 2-8-0 wins for the women's teams. Fantastic result for them. They have continued year on year, it has to be said. I know we do like to touch on how good they've been, especially this year. It's hard to overlook their rise to dominance, especially this season. But badminton have been building themselves up and up and up, and they've been getting stronger and stronger, and they have really been impressive this week. One society which on a bit of bad news, unfortunately, hasn't quite been as impressive as usual is basketball this week. All five of their games ended in defeat, guys. I mean, the men's first are still unbeaten in the league. That is a very big plus point we have to still take from it. And they narrowly lost it at home to Sheffield Hallam's first. But five losses in one society, that's going to leave a bit of a sting in the taste of it, especially Adam Pratchett, of course, who is not only our SU sports officer, but the captain of the men's first team. Bit of a tough week for basketball.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure Adam will be disappointed with those results and be looking to bounce back. We've talked recently about how they've tried to install more professional culture in basketball, not drinking 24 hours before a game. And, well, I mean, it hasn't quite paid off in this respect. You look at some of the results, 101 points to 54 with Durham's firsts beating our women's firsts. I mean, our women's haven't been quite as strong as our men's this season, sadly. But I think also the men's thirds losing to Lincoln was a disappointing result. And yeah, as you said, Jeremy, a very disappointing week for basketball, who have had a pretty strong season up until now, usually winning over half their matches. So I think they'll be looking to bounce back next week with better results.
Yeah, I think to lighten it up a bit, table tennis had a great week this week, winning five out of the six matches, with an impressive two matches winning 17-0. And that was the men's fourth team beating Benrin City's first team, and the men's fifth beating Loughborough third team. So great going for the table tennis this week.
And just to continue on the racket sports, just a touch on tennis, five wins from eight from them, and I've got to say the men's seconds beating Loughborough seconds in the cup, that's a big victory for them, and I'm sure they'll be pleased with that one. But also the thirds and fourths of the men's also winning their games in the cup, including the men's fourth against Oxbridge seconds, with a very convincing victory, and yeah, again, just showing the depth that we've got in these racket sports.
There's a couple of other sports, guys, I want to bring up for talking about, because there are three sports actually which we have neglected who didn't lose a game all week, it has to be said, and those are our futsal teams, which picked up some very good results, it has to be said, our netball teams, and of course, I'm sure he's listening, our head of station sound, who is a big fan of our ultimate team, our ultimate frisbee team, that is, of course. I don't know why they call themselves ultimate, it's a bit weird that, but anyway, yes, all three of those picked up fantastic records this week. I mean, your thoughts on those three teams, guys? We've got in there our netball team that have continued a pretty strong run, it has to be said. This is in the cup this week. They had two wins in the bounce on there. Our futsal team, which have continued an extremely strong start to the league this season round and looking very in very fine form. And I suppose throwing in there our ultimate frisbee team, who just seem to be picking up a few more wins than they usually do. So, your thoughts on those three societies?
Well, I mean, Ultimate Frisbee squeezed out a very tight win against with the first in the cup, the seconds winning 9-8. As you said, Jeremy, it's a very modest title for a sport, Ultimate Frisbee. But they've keep on picking up the wins this season. Every time we come on the Buck Show, it's always the Ultimate Frisbee team winning again. So I think we just got to say keep up the good work over there and we'll get some more wins, hopefully, and some more Bucks points.
Yeah, and just mention our futsal team. They seem to, well, every week, be keeping our results quite high. So we've got the futsal team winning three matches and drawing one, so that's a great win for them. Just mentioning the men's second team beating Derby's first team 7-5, and then a great score from the men's fourth team beating Birmingham City 14-3.
Yeah, I think also the netball results you touched upon there, Jeremy, some really strong wins for the women's first and the women's second against Edinburgh first and Edinburgh fourth respectively, both matches in the cup. A 60-43 win for women's first against Edinburgh first and a 43-24 wins for women's second against Birmingham fourths. They had a bit of a blip a couple of weeks ago, as I remember when I was on the show, and they lost more matches than they won that week. I believe you were at the SRAs that week, Jeremy. But,
I probably don't remember that at all that day.
But on the whole, the netball had a really strong season. They keep on picking up the wins. We always talk about how well they're doing. They've had a few other weeks in which they won all of their matches, so I think we just again keep up the good work. They keep on getting us these points, so thank you very much to netball.
Forest this week introduced they allowed students to attend their match here at the University of Nottingham with a very, very good ticket deal. It was a £5 ticket deal. If you're listening to the show last week, of course, you'll have heard that we gave away one of those tickets which we were offered by Nottingham Forest very kindly, and it was a very generous situation which they set up with us. Now, Matt, you went down to that match. There was a very large contingent of University of Nottingham fans went down. In fact, I can report that we actually were able to sell out the entirety of the tickets we were allotted. Now, I believe that was well over 1,000 tickets, therefore went to the University of Nottingham. Did it feel as though there was a big uni off presence down
it
there?
It did. I definitely saw students looking mildly lost at being at a football game. No, it was a really good atmosphere. I believe the attendance was something like 23,000, so it was a good turnout down at the ground. It was a tight match in the first half. Was very close. Notts Forest probably just having the edge, I would say, over Norwich, creating a couple more clear chances, but there was a Norwich had one good chance with Marley Watkins shooting wide in the first half. But after that, Forest were probably their better team in the second half, and I would say they were good for the 1-0 win. It was a pretty cagey affair. I got the sense that both teams would have been relatively happy with a 0-0 draw. They're both obviously in a similar position towards just in and around the playoffs. It was Murphy who scored the goal for Forest with a really excellent cross from Mustafa Carriol. He really lit up the game for Forest. He gave him so much energy coming forwards. He drove forwards with much more intensity than we'd seen from Forest before that, and he relightened up the game for them. So I think if he hadn't come on, they probably would have been sunk with a 0-0 draw. So I think that was a really good substitution from Warburton, and I think we should be seeing more of him, or perhaps he's just effective as an impact sub. But yeah, Carriol turned the game, in my opinion. He really started driving in down the left-hand wing, putting pressure on the defenders, and a really excellent cross for the goal that was sort of bundled into the net by Daryl Murphy, who's just come back from international action, of course.
Yeah, it was a good result, and that's put Forest just 2 points off the playoffs, which is a great season for them. But I think inconsistency is still the story of the season for them, because although they won that game, on last Saturday they did lose to Birmingham, who hadn't won in four and hadn't even scored in four games. So it shows that, you know, they've got to sort out maybe that away form to really push for the playoffs, but they're still in amongst it. So if they can keep the home form up, especially this weekend, then it could be a good season for Forest.
Yeah, indeed. And speaking of the match which is coming this weekend, Nottingham Forest are at home against Cardiff. Now, Will, as our resident Cardiff fan here in the studio, Cardiff are currently sat up in second. So I believe you're going down to that match, and it's going to be a very, very interesting affair, I think it has to be said. I mean, you, I'm assuming, watched a lot more of Cardiff than I have this season. So what can you tell us to possibly expect from... I can't remember. I can never remember with Cardiff. Are they the Dragons now or the Bluebirds? Because they have those two different symbols on the badge. What can we expect from the team from Wales this week?
Yeah, it's back to the Bluebirds since Vincent Tan's mum had a word with him to change his mind. But yeah, I'll be in the way end. Good season. It's kind of a classic Neil Warnock season in the Championship for Cardiff, up in second, conceded the fewest goals in the league, just 13. So it's kind of, you know what you're going to expect. You know, they're going to set up, we're going to set up to stop the other team scoring. You know, we take our time over all goal kicks, free kicks, whatever. And, you know, at the start of the season, we were playing a lot more attacking, but recently we've had Kenneth Zahor, Mendes Lang, our two kind of main attackers, out injured. So it's been more reverted down just the importance of set pieces. We've actually got three long throw specialists in the team at once. So I think, to be honest, I think we are good against the top sides, especially with beating like first, third, fourth. But against these mid-table sides and Forest, especially away, we have struggled. So I could see a draw here, although Nottingham Forest haven't drawn in 25 league games.
Yeah, I was going to bring that. That's a very good point to bring up, because Nottingham Forest have shown the complete side of, like you said earlier, their inconsistency. 9 wins and 9 losses this season alone, with a goal difference of -1, which is the lowest goal difference in the... You have to go down to 15th place to find, actually, Norwich, who are on -5, for a team that has a worse goal difference than 8th place Nottingham Forest, which is... worrying, I think it's safe to say, probably the best way I can probably sum this up. So very inconsistent form, it has to be said, from Nottingham Forest. We will be bringing you, of course, later on this week. Stay tuned to our social medias, because we will have the latest episode of Over the Trent, our Nottingham Forest and Notts County Review podcast, which will be coming out, in which you'll hear from when Liam and I went down to listen to a press conference that was taking place with Mark Warburton. Warburton actually said there that over the course of 5 games, I would rather take 2 wins and 3 defeats than 4 draws, because of course, obviously, you'll end up with more points, was his logic, which is very interesting, because he did say a lot about when a team is 1-0 down. He actually openly admitted that Forest can't defend those positions, so perhaps with Cardiff's ability to hit Nottingham Forest from a set piece or a long throw, that could definitely prove to unlock Forest. And it's rather worrying that a team this far into the season, 18 games, and we still haven't got a draw. Interesting times, it has to be said, with Forest. 8th place, though, they're a team on the up, and ahead of them are some very good teams, it has to be said, that could be challenging us for those playoff positions. Obviously, Wolves are top of the league, followed by Cardiff, then Sheffield United, Aston Villa, Bristol City, Middlesbrough, the cursed Derby County, and then, of course, us. Derby, of course, have a game in hand. So, do we think that a playoff position, if amazingly Forest managed to go a whole season without drawing a single game, guys, do we think playoffs are possible?
Yes, is a short answer. I mean, they're in, as you can tell from the table, they're in the mix. They've, if they can get a little bit more consistency, string a few more wins together, then I think absolutely they've got some real quality going forwards. As I saw on the match on Tuesday, you know, Daryl Murphy, he's a quality player, and they've got other individuals like Kieran Dowell and Mustafa Carrao, who are all really quality individuals going forwards. They're a little weak in defence, as we've mentioned. I could see that on Tuesday, that they have some frailties. There are a few moments when Norwich had chances because of defensive errors, such as poor clearances and poor back passes. So I think that they need to tighten up the discipline in the back. If they can really ensure that they're a bit more solid at the back, and then I think they've got a really good chance of going into the playoffs, and who knows where they could go from there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, once you're in the playoffs, it's a gamble. The whole season goes out the window. It comes down to those two legs and then the final. So if Forest just need to stay up there, stay with the pace, getting those wins. And if they can be around there after Christmas, then they can really start aiming high.
This is URN Sport.